In countries where residents speak different languages, governments have dealt with the issue in various ways. In the United States, there's a movement to legislate English as the official language. Commentator Jeffrey Nunberg has these thoughts.
You may have heard that out here in California, we have proclaimed English our official state language. 73% of the voters approved an English-only amendment to the state constitution last fall. In the wake of that landslide, politicians in at least 30 other states have introduced official language measures of one sort or another. In some places, these bills have only a symbolic importance. But they could have serious consequences in states like California, Texas, and Arizona, where there are large immigrant populations, by making it impossible for the states to deliver a wide range of essential services in other languages. For example, an immigrant who arrives with imperfect English would find it impossible to obtain information about school enrollment or workman's compensation, or even to apply for a driver's license. In other words, the bills would make it harder for immigrants to enter the economic and social mainstream. And the effects would be even more serious if we were ever to ratify the proposed official language amendment to the U.S. Constitution. The proponents of these measures say they're necessary to give people an incentive to learn English, to send a message to immigrants that you need English to get on in America. They raise the specters of communities like Canada and Belgium, where language differences have led to political disunity. At first blush, this doesn't sound like such bad logic. In fact, I've met a lot of people who were surprised to find that the movement wouldn't be attractive to someone like me, a linguist with an almost proprietary interest in the English language. But when you think about it, the logic of these arguments doesn't really hold up. For one thing, history shows that you can't get people to adopt a new language by force of law alone. The Soviets have learned this the hard way in their attempts to impose Russian on their language minorities in areas like Georgia and the Ukraine. These Russification policies, as they're called, have met with stiff resistance and even mass demonstrations. And this was back in the days before Glasnost. What's more, there's no need to wave a stick when you have so alluring a carrot as English. Without any state interference, the English language has gone from being the language of a small island nation off the coast of Europe to the most successful world language in history. We don't have to send a message to immigrants before they realize that you have to know English if you want to get on in America. This is not exactly a state secret, after all. A 1985 RAND Corporation survey showed that 95% of Hispanics born in America are proficient in English. Proposing that the English language needs a special advantage is sort of like proposing that Magic Johnson would benefit from a pair of elevator shoes. But the problem isn't just that these official language measures are unnecessary. What's more troubling, they suggest a misunderstanding of what America's all about. In effect, what the English-only people are saying is that common democratic values aren't a sufficient basis for national unity, that you can't really understand American values unless you share the same culture and language as everybody else. Now, this is clearly not what the framers of the Constitution had in mind. In fact, they explicitly rejected making English the official language of the new United States at a time when the country actually had a larger proportion of non-English speakers than it does now. I must say that I'm heartened by a recent New York Times CBS News poll that shows that support for these official language measures has been dropping sharply. A year ago, 60% of the people surveyed favored this sort of legislation, and only 36% were opposed. Now, opinion is split at 47% each way. I think what this shows is that a lot of people have had a chance to reflect on what these bills are really about, and that they've realized that the framers of the Constitution were right to leave government out of the language business.
Our language commentator, Jeffrey Nunberg, is a linguist.